Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
We were talking before the break, though, to Amanda Teague. Amanda was telling us that Amanda is a white witch. She's interested in spiritualism, plus in pirates. And she said she had been communicating for some time with a pirate from the 17th century, a fellow called Jack Teague. So she's married to him now. I saw one. I know I'm being very judgmental, but as an atheist, I believe that lady basically married her imaginary friend. You could probably say that about all sorts of spiritual beliefs. When they go to the cinema, does she buy a ticket for Jack? Somebody else wants to know. I'd imagine he'd be able to sneak in for nothing. Why would you? After an argument, how do they patch things up? Very good. Can this lady who married the dead pirate claim the widow's pension? I don't think she can. Though, I mean, she did. We didn't have time to get into it there, but she says that they do go for dinner together, that oftentimes at home they leave a seat for him, for Jack to sit on, and he can experience what she drinks and what she eats. So he's kind of there as well. Isn't it great that she could verify all the spiritual messages and information when science hasn't been able to do so? She must be the only medium that is actually real. Everything in the film is fantasy, says the woman married to a pirate ghost from the 1700s. Johnny Depp had me convinced, says Mick. Amanda says, so she goes on a date with him and what? She takes up a table for two. I have imagine a woman pouring him a glass of wine, ordering him a meal, talking away to herself, says Amanda. Well, as you heard her say, her friend is now going out with Jack's friend. So they go on double dates together. So they're both kind of, well, one's married, obviously, to a ghost. The other one's just dating. So it doesn't look weird. So if she's invited to a wedding, does she say plus one is Jack? Says Anna. Ask that. Well, she did have a wedding on a boat. There's, you know, we photographs of them and lots of people came along and celebrated it with her. Apparently, though, they got seasick. Though I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that she was marrying a ghost. Ask that woman where he buried the treasure. You know you want to. Brian says this lady may be experiencing some escapism, but if it brings her happiness, what's the harm? Well, indeed. What's the harm? Though somebody else says, same kind of thing happened to me after I saw Terminator 2. Haven't been the same since. We'll be getting this person on the phone over the next few days and talking to them. Anyway, it is time for So You Think You're an Adult. I'm pleased to say Barbara Scully, Susan Daly join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
How are you?
Afternoon. I think that sounds like a kind of halfway an ideal relationship, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because, you know,
gives you a good excuse to talk to yourself.
And probably a lot of that kind of, you know, she can't have a fight with him about who's tidying up.
Look at the duvet robbed off your side of the bed when you're in bed. I mean, I could see lots of advantages to it.
It's always extraordinary when people have relationships with people who can't see that the person who comes to them isn't just some bog standard 17th century peasant who hasn't a shekel to his name, but an exciting pirate who's been on the high seas and an adventurer and so on. People are very lucky like that, aren't they?
They are, actually.
And when you're reborn from the past, you've generally been a pharaoh or a princess you know, a wizard or something. Like, really, it's kind of extraordinary.
Yeah, nobody ever cleans the jacks in the past.
Right, the people who punch through the veils of time, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, here's your first question anyway. Dear Sean, though obviously it's not me, I'm not going to answer this. It's dear Barbara and Susan. I think my poor gullible brother has been taken for a ride by his new girlfriend. My brother has been single for quite some time now. He's always been known as being a bit of a loner and always said that he's happy with his own company. A few months ago, he came into some money thanks to a payout from an old accident. News about is spread like wildfire, and all of a sudden, he was very popular down the local. The problem is that one woman in particular has gotten too close for comfort for our liking, and from where I'm sitting, she's using him for his cash. She has a bit of a reputation about the town for being a bit of a wan, if you know what I mean, but that doesn't bother him. Now I'm worried that she's bleeding him dry. That money was supposed to be a bit of a nest egg for him, considering the accident affected his work, but he seems to be blowing a lot of it on her. She's got new clothes out of him. They're always off on the weekends away in fancy hotels, and now he's talking about booking an expensive holiday abroad with her. I want to see my brother happy, but I've heard a few rumours that her carrying on with fellas, other fellas, hasn't stopped, and I don't want to see my brother hurt and broke. Wow.
Oh, seriously, woman, is your brother an adult? And you know, did he suffer some kind of brain injury that might have affected his process of judgment during the accident. Because if he's an adult and if he doesn't have a problem in kind of making his own decisions about things, then it's totally up to him how he spends his money, and it's got nothing to do with you.
Maybe he's delighted.
Yeah.
Maybe he's absolutely delighted. She says herself that he's quite shy and his life has been a bit humdrum, and you know, they're saying, well, you need to put away as a nest egg. Maybe he's quietly going about his own business, going, finally a chance to live the way I want to live. One thing I think is she can't say to him, your one's a gold digger and she's still having it away with the other lads in the town. By the way, the smack of small town judgment. It's all about she's a one.
And a bit of a one. Do people actually say that still?
Yes,
that's
they
what
do.
My mother used to say.
Yeah.
A bit of a one.
Well, I suppose people do say that. But yeah, a lot of this seems to be based almost entirely on hearsay.
Yeah, and also the fact that this sister thinks for some reason that she is her brother's keeper and she's not. If he's happy, and even if he is indulging the one more than she feels than the sister thinks is appropriate, it's none of her business. Mm-hmm. And if he blows the entire nest egg, in inverted commas, in the space of the next few months, having a great time, well, like, you know, there you go. That was his decision and it has absolutely nothing to do with her. So she's got to butt out and leave him alone.
It would be quite sad if he is being genuinely taken for a ride and at the end of it he feels cheated. But maybe there's a halfway house where she goes to him. It doesn't sound like she's even spoken to him about it, that she would go, how are you getting on there? Things seem to be going pretty well, but pretty fast. And are you happy? Like, what do you want out of life now?
I think she seems to be quite happy when she describes him as a loner and somebody who didn't go out a lot and kind of kept to himself, and he was single for a long time. That seemed to be kind of comfortable for her because she kind of knew what he was doing and there was no threats to anything there. It was all nice and comfortable. But he might have been terribly unhappy with that. He might have wanted to be going out, staying in fancy hotels and booking a nice holiday. Geez, you only get one go on the roundabout. Well, unless you're like the pirate who married your woman, but assuming you're not, well then, you know, let him blow the money. Sure, so what? It's only money.
Is the problem here perhaps not that not your man and his judgment of what he's doing with his money, but the sister thinks she's not good enough for my brother. I don't like her.
I think she also seems to be worried that he's not only been taken for a ride, but he's getting the ride. And so is everybody else. She's very prudish about the whole thing. Like, look, I think if he's getting a bit of happiness out of it.
She might be a bit jealous. Maybe she's not going on nice weekends away and fancy holidays and getting new clothes. Maybe she feels that maybe if the brother has a bit of spare cash, he might throw a bit her way. And he obviously clearly hasn't. He's entitled not to do.
Okay.
So I don't think she has a problem, really. She just needs to butt out.
As usual, Barbara gives advice and causes a family row.
Yeah. You're welcome. Hashtag you're welcome.
I was looking for now we put this question on Twitter already. We got no useful replies to it.
I replied to it on Twitter.
I know you did, but somebody else, would it be wrong to put deep heat on it?
Yes, it would be wrong.
Rhetorical question. I was looking for my wife's spare set of keys the other day. When I was rummaging about her bedside table, I found a hidden vibrator I never knew one thing about. It was in a box hidden behind some books. It was pretty obvious to me she didn't want me to find it. First of all, my ego was a bit bruised that she would even need one, but now I'm wondering why she wouldn't even tell me she would use that kind of thing. We've always been open about her sex lives in the past and would be up for trying new things. Should I ask her about this or just leave her to it?
I love how I'm getting indicated to here.
Yeah.
In fairness, I was in on Twitter and I was like, sneak preview, just leave her to it. Now, I'm speaking as somebody who got sent as a press drop. You know the way sometimes you get things sent, products, try these products.
And that's
story
and you're sticking
to it. Because it arrived in the office, a big purple bow, and it was a giant purple vibrator with lots of lubricant as well. And I was just like, this is not very appropriate.
When people tell these stories, aren't they always giant vibrators? Yeah. They're like enormous. You don't get like a normal size one.
That is no reflection on my personal life. So all I can say is that the unexpected arrival of a giant purple vibrator that you weren't expecting in your life can always be a bit disruptive.
Yeah.
And I believe this is what happened to this man. He wasn't expecting it, okay? I would say that I don't believe for a second he's rummaging about her bedside table for a spare set of keys, because no one keeps their keys in their bedside table. He was having his nose around. And when you nose around, you don't necessarily find everything you expect or want. I would say he shouldn't assume that there's something wrong with the sex life. Somebody on Twitter did reply something about, I was rummaging around my husband and found he had a hand. You know, it's the same thing. The capability to have a wider sex life that involves just yourself outside of your partner is not unusual or abnormal, and that man needs to think about it in that way. And I would say that maybe he should just use it, rather than saying that, and to use it as an opportunity to remind himself that they have been open about their sex lives and that they do things, and just kind of go to her and say, well, what can we do new for 2018? Yeah. You know, and just reassure himself in that way, because maybe he has gone off the boil a bit, who knows, but I would not take it so bloody personally.
Yeah, okay. I mean, my first reaction was
it's a kind of a human reaction, I would say, yeah. Maybe a wee bit personally.
But it's also, they're so prolific, vibrators now, yes. You know? I mean, was it for this 1916 and somewhere across from the TPO, etc.?
But they're always so enormous. That's what's scary about it.
A purple. Yes. Oh, sorry, vibrations. No, my first reaction was the same, was that, like, you know, of course your wife is allowed to have a secret vibrator, and, you know, you should leave her to her privacy. If that's, you know, if she hasn't chosen to share this particular element of her sex life with you, well, that's her prerogative. But like you, I do get the fact that I think he's a bit confused and he's a bit hurt and he's a bit like feeling a bit left out. Mm. And if they are open about their sex life, I'm not sure that the whole secret offend is helpful. You know, even if she said, I have a vibrator, I use it occasionally, end of story. So at least he knew about it. But the fact that I think he's felt that he knew nothing about this, that he does feel a little bit slighted and a little bit hurt. But that said, and I think that's what's upset him more than, you know, using this kind of thing or whatever he says in the letter. I think it's the fact that he didn't know about it and that she didn't share this with him. What I would suggest for him to do is, if they are open about their sex life, why doesn't he suggest, you know, letting on he hasn't found it and he wasn't rummaging for keys, why doesn't he suggest introducing a vibrator to the sex life and see how she reacts? You know, open that door, yeah. And she might say, well, you know, yeah, let's do that. And, you know, here's one I made earlier. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, if this is a terrible metaphor, if the shoe was in the other foot, if she found some sort of apparently there are gizmos. Male equivalents. If she found, would that be the same thing?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. I think
my mind is boggling at male equivalents still. I'm still working on that one.
There is. Yeah, we've done one or two items. They're okay. The most terrifying looking things ever saw in your life.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm only
yeah.
sorry now I didn't pause yeah. for longer there and go, yes, I know. I vaguely know what you might be talking about there, Sean. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. It's probably not as part of popular culture now. There's
yes.
been
yes.
No,
yes.
Yeah. There's no been male Sex and the City type reflection on an implement for a man kind of thing. So it's possible that we're not as few. Okay. Yes. Oh God, I'm not making this sound very attractive whatsoever. Guys, don't do it.
No, but they're like, we had one was sent in to us once, isn't that right?
Oh, everybody gets them sent in. Yeah, that's right. You all get them sent in.
It was some sort of mailing list.
It was called the Auto Blow.
The Auto Blow.
It looked like a food processor, basically. Oh, okay. You wouldn't hide it behind the books. Indeed, though, if she'd found it, she wouldn't have a clue what
to
it was
fair,
for.
To be fair, it sounds like some sort of autumn garden cleaner up or that you find in the middle of Little and Aldi.
Yeah, she'd have had it down the kitchen trying to shove oranges into it and wondering why it didn't work. All right, we have to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes. Barbara Scully and Susan Daly are still with us for So You Think You're an Adult. First question was from someone who was concerned about his brother. He's after coming into some money. He's got a new woman in his life. The sister is concerned the woman's only there for the cash and is sucking him dry and then will disappear. Is it not his money? Says the texter. Let him do what he wants with it. She wants it for herself. Greedy moaner. Another text says the sister should be glad her brother is getting a ride, even if it's only being taken for one. Someone else says, so ye are saying we can't worry about family if they are adults. If my siblings found out that my partner was cheating on me, I'd expect them to tell me. Celine says something similar. The sister is concerned, obviously loves her brother. Be nice, ladies.
We're being mean wagons, are we? Yeah. I still stick by what I said.
Well, I mean, people can be naive.
It was the tone of it. I didn't get from the tone of it that it was a genuine concern. I got there was a lot of judgment. Mm. She wasn't happy about this one. And, you know, the brother is an adult. It's up to him to make his own choices.
And as I said, there's no indication in it that she's in any way speaks to her brother as an equal.
Yeah.
There's this sense of, he's an awful idiot that gets taken for a ride easily, you know, that this, of course, this is going to happen to this fella. Instead of her, if, how is he, as you were saying, Barbara, on the break, you can't, or Sean, you can't actually get people to do the opposite. Like, if she goes to him and says, your one is taking you for a ride and she's cheating all around town, I have no real proof, he's going to be absolutely going hell for leather, going, well, you're wrong, and so on. So that's not the way to approach it. But she hasn't done anything to open the lines of, hey, how are you getting on? Are you happy at the moment? Looks like you're having a good time. So that he would chat to her if he'd any misgivings. If I was him, I'd be going on the holiday to get away from that kind of judgment, you know?
Exactly.
Off to the sunset for sure.
On the vibrator question, we had a question in from a man saying that he found his wife has a vibrator, which she kind of left in such a place that he assumes that she didn't want him to know about it. One person says, if this was the woman who went into her husband's computer and found a cache of pornography to which he pleasured himself, would the response be the same? Would you be telling her that she really had no business on the computer to begin with and that she really should let him go on with it? I don't think so, says someone answering their own question. If that's the answer, why did you even bother sending in the text? Is it the same?
Well, there's other people involved in pornography, which to a certain extent you might feel there's a slightly different attachment there to the image than a piece of rubbery equipment that one wheels oneself. I don't know. It just feels like an entirely different situation. And I think psychologically it is. And that's the case that has been spoken about by psychologists of addiction and so on as well. So I think that's a kind of a strange and silly comparison.
It's not quite comparing like with like,
apples
really.
And oranges or bananas and aubergines, okay?
Every day I get the same bus to Dublin. It's about an hour commute from my home and it's almost like school in the sense that everybody sits in the same places every single time. Lately, I've been getting vibes off the guy who sits opposite me. We've only ever said hello to one another. I catch him every now and again glancing over and I'm convinced he's giving me a bit of a glad eye. Now, all I can do for the whole journey is daydream about how we're going to get married, have lots of babies together. I would love to ask him out, but I have no idea how to approach him without A, the whole bus hearing and cracking up laughing, B, not making a holy show of myself, or C, being rejected and never being able to take the bus again. When he gets off the bus, he goes in the opposite direction to me, so I can't even use the excuse of walking beside him. Any advice?
My first piece of advice is, listen, you got to kind of put some kind of control on those daydreams.
Yeah.
Because if one smell of daydreams about marriage and children and your dreamboat is very likely to steam off in the opposite direction. And also because you've demonstrated that you have quite an active imagination, it's ringing a slight warning bell about whether you're bored on your 1 hour commute and you're looking at this guy who's obviously quite appealing to look at and you're possibly, could you be imagining it, lad eye? You know, just because he said hello. But that's it. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm a great believer. We've had things like this before. And I've always said it's better to give it a shot, even if you risk, you know, having to take a different bus or the mortification of being turned down, than to die wondering. So what I would say to you is, it sounds from the letter that you both get off at the same stop because he goes in a different direction to you. So go in the same direction as him one day and catch him up and quite deliberately say, listen, I might be on the wrong tack here. I might have misinterpreted the signal, but would you be interested in grabbing a coffee or a lunch someday? He's either going to say, yeah, great, and you exchange numbers, or he's going to say no because he's gay or married or not that into you or in a relationship. And then it is
or
a bit
they've
more
only ever said hello to one another.
To be honest, I'm getting the fear with a capital T, capital F. Listen to me. Don't listen to Barbara, right? Don't do that. Okay, let's play it easy here. I know. Look, I think it's quite sweet. And actually, I think we've all had those little crushes where it's nice to kind of imagine something. And then as time goes on, you see they pick their nose a lot or something like that. I think if she pays attention to the details. So, come on, Barbara. Anyway. Why doesn't she just on the bus somehow ask him for something like, oh, look for a tissue or, you know, drop something or something ridiculous.
Where is that going to get her?
And then to break the ice where she gets
well,
to
if she dropped her
him.
Huge purple vibrator on the floor, that's bound to be an icebreaker.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's so lovely and old-fashioned.
You know, exactly. Hello? Well, look, she could do that in some way, make contact with him in the bus that involves something, but allows her to at least hear his voice. Because if, do you remember there was an ad on television and it was all this like crossing eyes,
the guy with the high voice.
He went outside to, and she passed the number eventually and he goes, hello, it's me from the bar. And she's just very put off by his beautiful melodic country accent.
Yeah, but Susan, that can go completely the other way. You could have the voice of, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody who has a fabulous voice.
In which case, you can move on with Barbara's tack and throw yourself full throttle at him on the
bus. I'd just go for it. Like, life is short. You know what I mean? He could change job tomorrow and then he's gone.
Bus network, like, there may not be another bus, all right?
Sorry, they're only an hour on the bus. But if they're coming from Cavendish,
they're sitting opposite each other every day. They've only said hello. This man could be a serial killer. He could be a racist. He could be,
oh my God, between the two of you, you're like the two ends of a very difficult pole to cross. No, just do something. Approaching normality.
That's why she needs to talk to him first.
And talk to him in a very relaxed way.
For God's sake,
but I wouldn't stalk him after the bus and run after him when he knows.
I'm not saying you run after him. I'm just saying go after him and say straight up, put your cards on the table, say you might have got the wrong, got the wrong end of the stick, but are you to go for a cup of coffee or a lunch somewhere, Sean, that's, you know, lit with other people?
Oh, I know that.
I'm not suggesting she gets in a car and goes to the mountains.
No, but all I mean is that if she talks to him first, if, say, next week she goes, right, she thinks of a few things to say to him, she has a few conversations with him, then she'll have a better idea whether she still wants to go out with him or not.
Like, are you married or are you gay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, presumably there's a ring she'd be able to spot for the married bit, at least.
All married men wear rings, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I'd go for it. I think life's too short. I'd go for it. Go for it. But just be prepared for the fact that he may say no, and then you're going to be upset. And then, okay. But I mean, you know.
Barbara just wants everyone having irresponsible lives this week.
We just need to point out that if you do find yourself dead in a ditch, News Talk takes no legal responsibility for that whatsoever. Barbara and Susan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.